This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
It is Johnny and Tim, educated educators talking education. Busted Pencils, Tuesday night, live. Number's 844-967-2789. I wanted to throw that out there, Johnny, right away. And our special guest, Michelle Gunderson, I'm gonna bring you in really quick. But, Johnny, you're out there in Washington, but I know Michelle and me up here in Madison, we had a snow day, man. It was, I went out there, I was telling Jimmy, I shoveled the driveway, got the driveway shoveled, sweat like crazy, and then the plow came by. And I went out and had to do, I think, three times as much work just shoveling out the plowing. So everybody out there who got the snow today, I feel you. Unless you're one of those snowblower people that kind of looked at me like going, well, he's got a shovel, I'll leave him go, he's fine. That's when you want the neighborhood. Like, if I had a snowblower, I always imagine myself like doing the whole neighborhood until I can't do it anymore, because I think that's what I would do. Maybe I wouldn't. I don't know. I would hope so. Anyway, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. We are into a new administration, and things are moving forward. Wonderful guest tonight. Saw the preview. Chicago Teachers Union extraordinaire, Michelle Gunderson, teacher. Michelle Gunderson, welcome to Busted Pencils. How are you?
Thank you. I'm fine. Snow day, that's for sure. Snow day with remote learning. I teach first grade. Love those kids. And their fun homework for today was to send me a picture of their snow fort or their snow structure.
Awesome.
Get yourself out there.
That's great. So actually, they went out. So wait, you're saying as a teacher in the Chicago Teachers Union during a remote snow day, you actually were teaching today?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, yeah. Good. Because, I mean, that's the first thing, because we're going to bust into this, Johnny. Look, all of a sudden now, new administration, we got a vaccine, we've got this out there, and there's a lot of media talk. And, of course, Chicago Teachers Union, love you guys, but it's not just you. It's teachers everywhere. But you guys are out there, though, really standing up and advocating. But Chicago Public Schools, New York, everybody, hey, CDC has put out guidelines. Sanjay, Fauci, everybody said, get those kids back in school. Chicago Teachers Union, why you say no?
We say no for a lot of reasons. The first reason is that it's not a deal that we want to sign up for. I am a teacher. I do not put myself in harm's way in order to do my job. And all of the research that says children aren't affected by the virus, that even might be true, I question it. But what is the worth of your workforce? Mm. What is the worth of the people who go into these buildings and will be exposed and will be harmed? We opened up on January 4th to a very skeletal crew in the building, and only preschool students and some special education classrooms. There have been 54 schools affected by COVID already with that limited exposure. So what we're saying is we want safety. Mm. We want equity.
Okay, we'll get to equity because that really is going to be at the heart of this issue. And Johnny, we were talking about this. But when you say safety and that, you know, okay, I'll give it back. Every one of the, and again, you know, hopefully whatever media, but, you know, all of a sudden we've got advocates who now know, who've been advocating for following the science, and actually going back to school requires following the science. And so, yes, we want to get back to school. But every somebody who's had something to say about teachers not stepping up to do their job has always forgets to say the caveats of, yes, but when it's safe. And so I want to talk about that just from a building standpoint, Chicago Public Schools. And I was even talking to the principal administrator, Troy LaRivière, who did a huge survey where like 20 only 22% of building principals in Chicago feel their buildings are, quote, safe. So, is it, Michelle, give us a little bit more on that, and then Johnny, you come in.
Well, I teach in the second oldest building still in service in Chicago, 1895. We don't have a ventilation system. Are you kidding? We have a boiler that looks like something that could fly an aircraft, support an aircraft carrier. We have people teaching in hallways. We have people doing their clinical work in closets. We're overcrowded. We don't have space. That's been the condition from the beginning in the Chicago schools. You can't neglect your buildings for a century and then expect them to be able to have ventilation systems and all the windows working. But that's really beside the point. If we follow the science and have children physical distance, do the hand washing, wear their masks, we're actually going to be having an education plan that's worse than what we have now. Mm-hmm. Right? I want to give you a picture. My first graders are online for me from 9 till 12. We take a break and then we do small group learning like you should do in first grade. When we go back to school, according to the CPS plan, I will be teaching children remotely with a mask on at home and the children in front of me at the same time. Now, we are child development specialists. We know how six-year-olds behave. This really assumes my children who are six are going to sit tidily in their little seats with their hands folded like this and wait for each other mm-hmm. and wait for the children who are at home and have all of their needs met. When now I feel like everyone is having their needs met, even though it's terribly hard for everybody. Nobody asked for this. Nobody is saying that remote learning is a great solution. Nobody is saying that we don't want children back in school, but we have to understand what the plan looks like. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. And that what the sacrifice they're asking in order to implement this plan. So I'm going to say it in a real pithy way. They're wagering my life and my continued health for children sitting in a cold room, isolated at tables while I am masked trying to teach other children at home. That's not a deal. That's monstrous.
Johnny, what do you got?
Man, I'm just grateful to have Michelle here giving some insight for folks who are, you know, maybe just not aware of the tremendous challenge that our students and teachers together are faced with in our schools that have reopened, that are reopening, that are navigating these spaces. Because we've said it time and time again, Tim, right? It looks different in different places, but there are some common strands. And that is that teachers are doing everything that they can to make the best of a really difficult situation. Teaching is already difficult, mm-hmm. but there are really great teachers who are on the fly, retooling and doing everything they can to meet the needs. And Michelle said it beautifully here, to really meet the needs of their students, where their students are at, and with the best of their abilities and with limited resources for what we would call ideal distance learning, right? And so this is by no means a great scenario, but what we are learning in the best cases is that where we're able to connect and develop relationships, right, and have community and then model support, not only for our students, but for our teachers and for the leaders of our teachers, right? Then we know that we can make up. We've said this, like this whole myth of learning loss. We can make it up if we stay together and take care of one another. And to me, this is a fundamental issue that the Chicago Teachers Union is amplifying, that teachers around this country are saying over and over again, in consensus, these are not the times to jump the gun. Don't risk our lives and the very integrity of the job we do right now, because we figured out kind of how to make this work. Can you get us to a safe place? And we're almost there. Take us to the finish line so we can begin to put things back together. So, you know, I love hearing about it because I don't think every day we have the opportunity for listeners or for folks tuning in to hear teachers share that this is really not as pragmatic and clear cut as it might seem. There isn't a guideline for how to make this work. When we're talking about diverse children learning, we're really clipping the wings of them in the classroom, flying and learning and being together in a space that works. So I feel for our teachers out there. I hope that our educational leaders are able to hear the teachers union and we can continue to learn from these classrooms what we can do differently to lead with community, right? And let the content come with it. Right? We're only as strong as we are taking care of one another. And this is time and time again, a labor issue, an issue of privilege. If we find the false equivalency, the few schools with the resources to not only do distance learning well, but to have small class sizes, really good social distancing, all of the resources and extra staffing needed to bring students into their building safely, then those exist, just like we've always found. Great examples of how to do education well exist often for the elite, often for the small private institutions that can shift quickly and allocate resources in those ways. But this does not exist for most teachers and for a majority of students. So consensus is it's not safe right now and we need to be careful. And we're not quite being careful because we're finding cases that are the small false equivalencies that are kind of working. And we want to just say, let's all get there, but we don't have the resources. We don't have the plan to do it. We don't have the capacity. And Chicago teachers are telling us this. Chicago principals are telling us this. Chicago Teachers Union is saying this. And, you know, I hope more of us can listen and be in solidarity.
Johnny. Man, taking us right up to the break. Michelle, we're going to bring you back on this as we come in after the break because we talked about the safety and, again, the caveats. The caveats matter. But what you talked about and what Johnny talked about really comes into this issue and talking about how, you know, equity, how do we really talk about going back to school? It was inequitable before the pandemic. So when we get back, more Michelle Gunderson, Chicago Teachers Union, standing up and doing what's right. Call us 844-967-2789. Bust the pencils. Back to break.
Stream the Devils and progressive news and talk 24/7 at the Devils Advocates Radio Network, Wisconsin. That's darnwi.com. That's darnwi.com.
Hi, this is Dom from the Devils Advocates inviting you to join us on Patreon.com. Patreon allows for our audience to access exclusive programming not available anywhere else and gives you the ability to directly support the greatest radio show ever. History's patrons have supported the works of Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, Monet, and now with your support, the Devils Advocates. So please go to Patreon.com and search the Devils Advocates to pick your subscription. That's Patreon.com and the Devils Advocates, the greatest radio show ever.
Hey, it's Pizza Box Mike. I've got a show, Outside the Pizza Box. Be sure to listen on Saturdays at noon on Devil Radio. There is a reason why they won't let me on Facebook anymore.
Tune into Sharp Elbows. It's on at 10 a.m. Saturdays with me, Representative Francesca Hong, and my friend Nada El-Makashvi. Every Saturday morning, we want to have a conversation with you about what's going on in the world. Whether it's on the biggest issues, current events, or people who inspire us, let's discuss it all. It's kind of like brunch, but with politics, guests, and callers. No shortage of fun, but also be prepared for some serious truth-telling. Talk to y'all soon.
Sharp Elbows airs Saturdays 10 a.m. only on Devil Radio 92.7.
Al Bachman from Bachman Construction here. A lot of us are spending more and more time at home these days. Maybe you're considering that addition you've been thinking about for the past few years, or maybe you're looking for suggestions on how to improve your space. Join me every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for my show, Ask the Builder. I share my stories of some of the trickier improvement projects I have undertaken, and we'll be taking your calls.
Ask the Builder airs Saturdays at 9 on Devil Radio. Supplying your political fix in the back roads, WTTN 1580 AM and Wisconsin's home for Devil Radio.
Teaching and learning during COVID-19 has presented unprecedented challenges. Where do you go for answers? Busted Pencils. This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7.
It is Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7. Chicago Teachers Union extraordinaire guest, first grade teacher Michelle Gunderson. Welcome back to the show. If you want to join in, give us a call, 844-967-2789. CPS says teachers get back to school. 86% of Chicago Teachers Union says, hold on, not yet. There's a safety issue. Johnny was hitting this, but Michelle, more than maybe even the safety, and I don't know, that maybe it's not a more than, but talk about issues of equity and how, if we're going to go back, issues that were of inequities are going to be possibly even exacerbated.
I think that we need to take a look at the different neighborhoods in Chicago.
Okay.
I teach on the north side, and all of my students' parents are still employed. In fact, all of them are working from home. That's not the case in many of the neighborhoods in Chicago. And one of the things when we talk about our private schools, the Catholic schools, and people say, oh, but they've opened up and things are going so well. Let's look at the differences here. You know, John and Tim, we are education researchers, and we know that we have to look at our dependent and independent variables. And we know that it's not the same having families that are intact families and working at home, and then multicultural families and families that have grandparents at home, multi-age groups at home, parents who are the backbone of our city who are going in and out of their home. The disease is going to spread differently in these neighborhoods, and it has. Mm. There are neighborhoods with incredible positivity rates. And so saying, why can't we go to this opening just like the wonderful school that's private down the block? The huge difference: one, they've spent the money on the infrastructure. Two, the families have a lot less exposure. None of the kids in my classroom have experienced grief or loss. Mm-hmm. I have friends who have two or three children in their classroom who have experienced grief or loss. We're going to have children who've experienced trauma when they come back to school. We are looking at families. I have families who are not following the rules, who are traveling, who are going places. And there are groups of families in this white middle-class and upper middle-class grouping who are advocating hard politically to reopening schools. And there's two things I want to talk about in this respect. One is white shield. And that's the idea that nothing has happened to me and nothing will happen to me. And white shield is real, and it's harmful in this respect when you're pushing so hard. The other concept I want your listeners to be thinking about is what opportunity hoarding means. And we see opportunity hoarding all the time. Remember those cases where movie stars were paying to get their children into universities?
Right.
That's the extreme, right? But a parent getting on the phone with our mayor saying, my kid needs to go to school, my kid needs socialization, my kid's going to fall behind, they're in first grade, they're not going to get into Harvard, get them into school. That's opportunity hoarding at the expense of other people. And I think those two concepts are things that aren't talked about unless we have fora like this, where people get to speak for a long period of time and to dig into the demographic analysis and the political analysis of what's going on.
And that's what I do not hear at all, beyond just even the simple safety caveats of, do you have enough PPE? Do you have ventilation? Do you have social distancing? And the answer for a lot of those buildings is no. And if the answer is no on just that, but then you talk about the issue of, if we do come back and we're not in a position where we can even meet the safety ramifications. Then you talk about the social ramifications of community spread and how that disproportionately affects Black and brown kids, who on the same time, when you made that thing, who's on the phone calling mayors to get their kids back in school and who's not? That's an interesting kind of combination, because I see it here where I send my kids to school. And I'll be honest, like, my daughter's a senior and she's suffered, right? She hasn't had school. She lost her prom last year, her senior year. Brand new high school, beautiful. It will probably be safe, but even that, they are only going to do 2 days a week for her, and it's going to be a safety thing. And that's an extreme, what you just talked about, a brand new building, state of the art with everything in it, and they're still only going to bring half the school in for only 2 days a week just to try to keep up those safety protocols. What I'm not hearing is that, hey, are we going to apply that same metric at our disadvantaged neighborhoods in the schools where these types of conditions won't exist? And Michelle, you're saying no. I don't know. Johnny, you got something to add there before we...
No, yeah. I just think we're capturing a lot here. It needs to be you know, amplified, needs to be listened to. And I want to echo Michelle's use of the term, you know, white shield and resource hoarding. These are incredibly important things to think about right now of how we think about our relationships to one another and community, right? And we become aware of how do we are only as strong in a democracy as all of our communities. And this idea of sort of competing and hoarding resources and opening up at, you know, the expense of others and really our teachers, even in the affluent places, it's still high risk for teachers. But before we go, I really want to know, because I know Michelle's with the Chicago teachers, and I always learn from my Midwest teacher crews, especially in places where the teachers' unions originated. So you know what up, though, to my Detroit people and to my Chicago teachers, and like big longtime fan of Margaret Haley and that whole history. So tell us, share tips. What are we learning right now? We are living in the largest social uprising of our lifetimes. And teachers have been part of protest since there were teacher unions. And so what are we learning right now about not only stopping COVID, but being in solidarity with Black Lives Matter, you know, with women's and rights and all the things that have been loud right now? Give us some wisdom on what are the teachers out there learning about protest right now.
Best you can in 1 minute, Michelle.
The best I can in 1 minute is that solidarity matters. And that courage begets courage. And what we saw in the Chicago Teachers Union is small groups of people being willing to say no and to say no loudly. And my school, the local school council, wrote a letter to the mayor against the school closings. And that took a lot of courage. And then other people fall in line too. So courage beget courage, and stay strong, teachers.
Oh, Chicago Teachers Union. Michelle Gunderson, thank you for tonight. When we get back, Johnny, we're going to break this down a little bit more. Busted Pencils. Hey, give us a call, 844-967-2789. Back at the break.